Today comes from the book of Mark, chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. And you can find this beginning on page 40 of the New Testament section of your pew Bible. Mark, chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. He left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Who did that man think he was? You know, most of us in humanity, we have an image of ourselves. I look much thinner in my own image than I do. I gaze lovingly, adoringly at photographs of me when I was much younger, much thinner. And that's an image that we have of ourselves. And they're not always true to form. Oftentimes we fool ourselves into thinking we're thinner than we are, or that we're something that we're not. Are we compassionate enough? Are we loving enough? Are we smart enough? Are we fast enough? Are we healthy enough? You know, Jesus was under no disillusion. Jesus knew who he was. In the scripture that we read today in Mark, and Mark is the first of the Gospels, even though we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, most of the theologians and most of the people who we have studied have written that Mark is the first of them. Mark came first. And there are parts of Mark used in Matthew and Luke. Mark tells us that Jesus, when he comes to that place, and doesn't even really say this reading in Mark, but in Luke it does say that he goes to Nazareth. But in this, he says he comes to the town, his hometown. Well, you and I know that where was Jesus born? Oh, so that's not his hometown. But where he was raised was Nazareth. He left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to preach. He began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. This is where that self-image has to stand the test of what someone else sees and thinks. They said, well, who's the they? The people in the synagogue. Just about everybody in his local town. These are people that saw him as a snotty-nosed kid running down the street. These are the people that saw Mary raise him. These are the people who may have seen him make a few of those teenage trying moments. Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hand? Now, they have heard what has happened. They've heard the stories about how Jesus has healed, how Jesus has fed, how Jesus has performed these miracles. These miracles that if anyone wants to truthfully look at it, says the Messiah will do these things. He's fulfilling these prophecies. The word of God that was provided through the prophets, that what the Messiah would do. Jesus is performing these miracles, and they're saying, what deeds of power are being done by his hand? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Why? Because their image of him was not an image of God. It was not the same image that Jesus had of himself. So when you read on the sign out there and it says, who is this man, Jesus? Well, let's look at this. Who is this man, Jesus? What have we heard about him? Fed the 5,000 with a little lad's lunch. He walked on water. He stood at the head of a boat and he calmed the seas with what? A word. And it wasn't hocus pocus. Many, many, many things that Jesus has done. And yet these people say, how is it so? And they take offense at him. Not only do they disbelieve and distrust, but they take offense at him. Well, who does he think he is? Well, who do you think you are? I've heard that so many times. From my brothers and sisters. Well, who do you think you are? But these people take offense at him. And Jesus responds. I mean, he doesn't cast them out of the synagogue. He says, prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house. And he could do no deed of power there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. So the first two parts of this lesson today are who Jesus is. First and foremost, Jesus knows who he is. He's the Son of God. He's the Word of God in flesh. To dwell among us, to be with us, Emmanuel. The other thing is that so much of the powerful deeds that he works is because of people's faith. The woman that touched the hem of Jesus' garment was healed. Why? He turns to her and says, your faith has made you whole. Those lepers, do you believe it? Go see the priest. That lame man. It wasn't his faith. It was the faith of his four friends. They pick him up on a mat. They carry him up on top of a building because nobody can get in because all the people they're wanting to see Jesus and be healed. And they take the roof off that gentleman's house. They lower the man on a mat down before Jesus. And Jesus says, arise and go. And he goes. Why? Because the faith of his friends that did it. Oh, he's still able to perform miracles, but nothing on the magnitude. When we're looking for miracles, why do we have to, you know, it's not a big enough miracle. You know? Mary and Martha, when they're standing outside the tomb, they don't know what Jesus is going to do, but they know if Jesus had come before Lazarus, their brother, had passed away, that surely he would have been able to heal him. But now they're standing outside that tomb, and, you know, their believability is stretched. And what does Jesus do? Lazarus, come out. And out he comes, wrapped in burial clothes and all together. Faith is this powerful igniter in the work of God. God can do all these things, but you know what? He created us to worship him. He created us to believe in him. He created us to have faith in him. Because if we have faith in people alone, we don't always do so well. But who is your faith in? So who is this man Jesus? This man Jesus is a man of faith and a man in whom we can be faithful because he's more than just a man. Emmanuel, God with us, the Word of God that was in the beginning. And then what does he tell us to do? So who is this man Jesus? And how does he perform these miracles? He is the Son of God. He performs miracles because of faith. And what does he call on us to do? It's almost the Great Commission early on. He called the 12 disciples and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing on their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He's telling them to go into the world and step out on faith. Doesn't tell them to carry a big stick. Doesn't tell them to have a bunch of buddies with them. He sends them out there in groups of 12. Two people. Why? You know, it's why do you send two? Why not? You know, why doesn't one person have enough faith? Goodness gracious, Terry and I together, when I'm low, she's high. When she's high, I'm low. Did I say that right? Whatever, you know what I meant. We are sent out so that we can support each other, so that we're not standing alone. The other piece is the ancient world looked at anybody's testimony and said, all right, I hear what you're saying. Is anybody going to second that? I mean, they had Robert's rules even back then. And do I hear a second? They looked at testimonies that people gave, and if there wasn't another person there to affirm it, then it didn't have as much validity. So he sends them out by twos. Can you imagine who got to go with Peter? It doesn't say. But you know James and John went together because they're the sons of thunder. But who went with Peter? Oh, goodness gracious. Peter's going to be... And that poor guy that's got to be coming after him. And he said, yeah, what he said. What he said. Yeah, what Peter said. But what is happening here? Where you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you, they will and refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. He didn't send them out there alone. He sent them out together in pairs, and he sent them out with power and authority. Power and authority to do what? Whatever needs to be done. He gives them authority over unclean spirits. And here's the thing. What are they doing? They're stepping out on faith. Did they bring a bunch of stuff with them? Did they take enough money? Do they have their Capital One card. What's in your wallet? Well, they might have, but I don't think it's going to be acknowledged or accepted at any of the merchants that they would run into. Not that there were any merchants at the time. Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. And here's the telling piece. This is the one where, you know, when Christ is sending out all these disciples, you know, for everybody that goes out, for every activity where Christ casts out and casts the net, if any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. We have to be fertile ground. We have to be receptive to that calling. We have to be receptive to that message. And if we deny, if we have lack of faith, if we are so fixated on, if I can't see it, don't believe it, can't touch it, can't taste it. Okay, I've used the five senses enough last month. I won't get into that. But we are so tangible in our faith. If I can see it, I can believe it. He's telling us to step beyond that. That's faith. Faith, Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the hope for things not yet seen. Guess what? You got to believe in it. That woman who walks to see Jesus and reaches over to touch the hem of his garment, she's been bleeding for 12 long years. What healed her? Her faith. Yes, the power that came out of Christ, because he feels her touch him. As, who touched me? And, you know, and everybody around with Jesus is saying, come on, Lord. I mean, you just walked through a crowd of 50 people and you said, who touched you? A bunch of people touched you. But he knew. And that woman knew. Turns around and faces her. She knew. That's faith. That's faith. So who is this man Jesus? A, he's the Son of God, our Savior and our Redeemer. And he was sent to redeem us and save us. He is one in whom we can have faith. He is one in whom miracles are yet to be performed on our faith. And the other thing is, he is calling us to go out. He's sending us to go out by faith to do what? To save ourselves? No. To save others? To self-grandize ourselves? No. But to that all might be brought to this rail. That all might be brought to this table. That all might receive that forgiveness of sin. For all of us have sinned and fallen short of the grace of God. All. All means all. And all are forgiven. And all of us receive mercy and grace because God loves all his children. Even those of us who don't always do what we're told. So they went out and proclaimed that all should just carry on doing what they're doing? No. So that they went out and proclaimed that all should repent, to turn around and follow God. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The deeds of power that God will make are probably not necessarily limited to your faith, but the faith of others and the faith of all around. God can do many, many great and wonderful and powerful things. But we are a catalyst for those miracles manifesting themselves in the lives of the brothers and sisters and children of God that we see and are with each and every day. Communion is a sharing. Communion is not just when Warren and I get up there or where Lee and I get to serve you. And it's good bread. It's really good bread. Believe me. Trust me. It's good bread. Have faith in the fact that it's good bread. But when we ask God's blessing on those elements, it's more than bread. It's the body of Christ. It's more than Welch's grape juice. It's more than fruit of the vine. It's His redeeming blood. There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Who is this man, Jesus? The one in whom you can have all the faith in the world. Who is this man, Jesus? The one who calls you to follow 2 by 2, 3 by 3, however and wherever, but to go in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shalom.